All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. 9/11/2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. 9/10/2025 actually turned out to be my birthday. So happy birthday to me. And if we're friends, I'm sure you wish me a happy birthday. I appreciate it. You know, got all the happy birthdays on Facebook, which is always fun. It's definitely a good reason to keep Facebook. A little bit of effort, big results. I know I especially appreciate it. I think everyone does. So I always try to go on and wish people happy birthday or whatever it is. Facebook's made it so easy. All you got to do is just hit send. You know, you used to have to sort of write it out, happy birthday, man. And then they would give you some choices, and then now they just give you one choice and you just hit send and off it goes. And honestly, I think for that little bit of effort, I think people really do appreciate it. I know I do. It's a lot of fun. I started getting happy birthday wishes the day before, which was really cool. And so thank you to all my friends and stuff who sent those. And so got up yesterday, enjoyed that, went out paddling with the club, actually went to Red Mill Pond. Weather was sort of crummy, overcast, windy, but I hadn't paddled in a while, so I was really looking forward to it. Ended up getting out there on Red Mill Pond. Great day. Did 8 miles. It was a lot of fun. Felt strong. I've been going to the gym, started going to the gym with my kids, and you know, have continued to go by myself and really enjoying it. So that was cool. And then I decided to go up and see my father yesterday. And got to hang out with him, which was awesome. And then came home, and Charlie Kirk got shot. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. And, you know, the worst part about it, many worst parts about it, but I think the part that hit home for me the hardest was that, you know, I found out from a text from my teenage son. Be Thy Name, Iron Maiden. Yeah. What a fucking terrible day yesterday. I was a huge fan of Charlie Kirk. I love Charlie Kirk. Some people say, I don't know if I agreed with everything he said. I didn't really have an issue with anything that he said. I love Charlie Kirk. And to be honest, I really, you know, with any person, any human, honestly, we can't always be perfect, right? But what I loved about Charlie Kirk is he was a great connection with young people. You know, I have shared before, I was a Democrat as a young person. And if you would ask me why I was a Democrat, I didn't really know. Just seemed like it was a 50-50, right? I picked a 50-50 chance. My dad was probably more of a conservative Republican, so I was definitely not like that. So I went the other way. But honestly, when I was a kid and or a young person at that age of, you know, my 20s and stuff, politics wasn't that big of a deal, right? We didn't have the internet. We had the newspaper and the news, and you got what you got, and you didn't get upset, right? And so there was not this huge divide. At least I was unaware of it, but I was also drunk and high, right? So what the fuck? But it wasn't this polarizing difference, right? And I didn't really realize, I have, you know, one of the things for me in recovery is I've woken up, right? And I don't mean woke. But I mean, I've just come out of this this fog, right? This haze. You know, my spirit was deadened, my soul, my all my feelings, my my growth, my physical and spiritual growth. Physical, I guess, maybe not as much, but my spiritual growth dead. You know, deadened, numb. And when I put down the bottle, I started to wake up. And I'm a lot different from being woke, right? I guess, right? You know, I remember someone saying, I don't know who it was, but they were talking about, you know, one of my first jobs I got when I was out in San Diego is I worked at Taco Bell. And, you know, when I was hired, the lady's like, this is a cash register position. And I was like, sounds good to me. That's great. I like it. And I worked the cash register. She says, but no, actually, I'm sorry. It was Arby's, not Taco Bell. And she says, when somebody orders a shake, your job is to make it, and you're also in charge of putting down French fries and hash, those triangular hash brown things. I was like, sounds good to me, man. And so, man, when I was, you know, in my day, I'd be like taking orders. If someone ordered a mocha shake, right, the famous Arby's mocha shake, I'd be over there fixing that mocha shake up and do whatever it is I had to do, whatever I was told to do. And then she was told, if there's a slow time, you need to go out and check the trash cans and check the lobby and make sure all the tables are clean. I was like, you got it. And if it got really slow, we needed to make sure the bathrooms were taken care of. Said, okay, sounds good. And then if it was that really slow, I needed to go out and sweep the parking lot, you know, just with this little duster and a broom and, you know, cigarette butts and all that shit. And I was like, sounds good to me. I'd go out and have a cigarette while I was cleaning. But the point is that today, and I saw somebody talking about this, that these young people, and I'm not going to say all young people, right? Whatever. I think we know who we're talking about. Not everybody is the same, but there is definitely a group that has decided, listen, if I was hired as a cash register person, that's what I do. I'm not here to sweep the parking lot. I'm not here to clean the bathrooms. I'm here to do this cash register. And so that started to fall under this umbrella of being woke, right? They woke up and realized they were being taken advantage of. And listen, man, part of that I get. I sort of, you know, as a person growing up, I felt like it was much more passive aggressive as when I was younger, right? And today, now everybody's aware, and for the good or for the bad, I do not know. But what happened to me coming out of when I came into recovery is the main thing was my emotions, and they woke up, they came alive, right? And I just remember being very, very emotional about a lot of things. I remember so worried about hitting a squirrel. Where I live, there's a lot of squirrels that run around. And I just, you know, prior to getting sober, I didn't want to run over a squirrel, but didn't care, right? Under the wheel it went, sorry. I wouldn't think twice about it. I don't think I would swerve towards it, of course, but the one thing I remember when I got sober is I was so concerned about running over squirrels. I mean, like, I would put my car in a ditch before I would hit a poor squirrel. And, my emotions and feelings were coming back alive. And you know, and yesterday was a very emotional day. I really like Charlie Kirk. He was, to me, a great voice. He created great thought. I would watch him. You know, as a father, right, of a son that's in the, it goes to the university. I don't know if I've talked about this, but, you know, when my son came back from school for the first time, he came back as a liberal. And I've said before, and I said it to him, and I've said it to others, you know, I get it, right? I was a Democrat as a kid or as a younger person, and then, you know, I really fell into it with the Obama, right? I loved Obama. I thought he was fantastic. I really liked him as a president. Completely unaware of anything, right? I'm just bebopping along in life. I remember we were coming out of Bush, and we were been in a lot of wars, and I was like, I'm sick of wars, and Obama wanted peace, whatever. But the one thing that he was offering was healthcare with no pre-existing conditions. I had a back injury. I was a self. I had my own business. I had to pay for my own insurance. And one of the things was that the insurance wouldn't cover anything that had to do with my heart or my back, because those were pre-existing conditions. And, you know, if that's not an issue for people, I can understand where that would be like no big deal. But when you're a guy like me who's, you know, barely making it, right, and had a back injury from deadlifting and had a heart conditions, you know, air quotes, told by a doctor, yada, 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 you have a heart issue. I still don't even know if I have that, right? But at the time, they're like, we can't do anything about it because that is a pre-existing condition. I remember voting for Obama because I needed what Obama was giving out. And I guess that would be my first introduction to being a liberal, right? I didn't really understand any of this. I didn't understand the divide. I thought, of course, who wouldn't want healthcare without pre-existing conditions, right? Why do you have to be a liberal? Conservative, like I said, it was really pretty foggy. But today, obviously, we have drawn a huge line in the sand of what is liberal. And my son came back really as a liberal. And I don't mean like, you know, there wasn't really any characteristics obvious, but, you know, his opinions about billionaires and you know, whatever was going on at the time. And I was just like, dude. And we talk about it, right? We talk about it. And I'm no expert in any of this shit. I just know as a guy just watching, right, visually. But it is pretty clear that there are two sides of this government and we are pushing an agenda. And the nice thing about Charlie Kirk is that he was allowing people, especially young people, to debate and get answers and learn about things, whether they liked it or not. I would, you know, I remember, I don't know when he obviously first came out. I just noticed he started being a huge presence on Instagram, and obviously the social media platforms was probably my first introduction to Charlie Kirk. But, you know, when he showed up, it was big time. And I just, you know, I liked how he would allow, especially these people, these young teenagers or young adults that would come up so angry, especially like the transgender opinions and thoughts was always clearly a big deal. But he would, you know, just have good debates and stuff. And you would see early on the hate, you know, these people would come up, I just want to let you know I hate you, right? And he's like, okay, I understand that, right? He was always, and he had that classic, you know, always setting the mic down. He was just, you know, perfect for the situation. And I just saw a video of him that I actually posted on my Facebook where a guy's like, you know, I've been watching you, Charlie, early on, you know, these colleges, they all hated you, and today they all love you. And he said, yeah, it's been a major transformation from one to the other. And I personally have watched that just through the social media, this real love for him. Especially when it came to Trump, you know, everyone hates Trump. But over time, you know, people started wearing the Make America Great Again kind of stuff. And so there was a real change, right? And you know, as a father of a teenager, a few teenagers now, I guess they're all teens now. I guess my oldest is out of the teens. He just turned 20. You know, it's hard to have a conversation with your kids because, you know, I'm their father and they're like, blah, blah. But to have a young person like Charlie Kirk, and as I guess he was 31, so, but to be able to, you know, bridge that gap. And like I said, my teenage son texted me yesterday. He goes, you know, do you know Charlie got shot? And I know exactly who he was talking about. And I just assumed he would be fine. And then I saw the video and all my, you know, all that stuff, and it was terrible. And then obviously he passed away. And I cried yesterday, and I cried like big tears, like big crocodile tears, like all of this emotion and sadness and whatever has been going on since really for the last year and a half, 2 years, just all came out, man. I was like really, I had a good cry. And I really felt bad for him, and I feel bad for the young people, and I feel bad for, you know, I'm just in shock that we are in such a place where this is going on. And, you know, the worst part about it is I've been on both sides, right? I have shared before I was not a supporter of Trump. In fact, I loathe Trump, right? But I was also a victim of this Russia, and all of this other shit. I absolutely remember those days saying, I can't believe this Trump is fucking this much of a pain in the ass. And, you know, he's probably involved with Russia. You know, I was like, I took it hook, line, and sinker, and did not like Trump. I became a big fan of RFK. And I'm sure before when they teamed up, I was like really pissed. And, you know, but like I said, I've been on both sides. I've been on a side where I absolutely believed what they were saying and absolutely despised the other side. And I've been on the side where I'm on now, where I absolutely believe what they're saying and sort of despise what the other side is saying. So I, you know, I don't know. I do not know, but I know if I stand back a little bit far and I can see how, you know, it clearly, as a person that's been involved, I can see how this big machine works. And it's fucking crazy. And, you know, somebody assassinated him yesterday. You know, that's what they tried to do to Trump. Same ass thing. I remember that day and I was like, I'm so glad they didn't shoot him. I would have really hated to see that on TV. And to see what happened to Charlie yesterday was just fucking horrible. I mean, my God. My God, what a fucking horrible, horrible thing to see, and all those kids that watched it, and for my teenage son to text me, Charlie has been shot. It was just really, you know, it's fucking terrible, man. But the point, I guess, of all of this is that, you know, recovery, you know, when I finally got sober and those emotions and feelings started coming back, and I think that was part of that chapter that we read, and where it said feelings come rushing back, right? And it's sort of around the third step. And it really is the opposite of the third step that really is the beginning of closing down those feelings. You know, when I started living my life because I just started doing things and my behavior was all based in that I just didn't care. I didn't care what you thought, and I didn't care what they thought, and I didn't care what they thought, and I didn't care the repercussions. I was willing to take that chance to do whatever self wanted to do, right? And when that happens, you know, feelings, you know, my emotions, my spiritual awakening, it's really a spiritual darkening. And it's that kind of behavior and that kind of life pushes me away from a relationship with God, pushes me away from, you know, having those emotions, fills my garage with more boxes. I can't have the Corvette. The keys are gone, right? And then when I start to make those choices, like it talks about in the steps, when we turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, you know, the feelings start to wake up, the emotions start to come back. When I start making a choice that's the right choice, right? That's the, you know, positive behavior in God's eyes. Then I start to, my light starts to come back on. And, you know, I don't know if that happens with young people and these conversations with Charlie and the thoughts. You know, I do think that when, you know, one of the obvious, clear, obvious things is that everything that I hear, everything that I see is just someone's idea, right? Everything I hear, I read, or I hear somebody say, it's just a choice that I make. I do understand when people are on both sides. I remember being a young person, really full of fear, wondering if I was going to ever be able to have any sort of freedom from not having to maybe work, right? And work these terrible jobs, all of choices, you know, all because of choices that I had made in my life, right? I chose to do these things that led me to these jobs and this life. But will I ever have, you know, some freedom, some peace, some able to relax, retire, whatever it is? And I just felt like no. And I can see how it's easy to get behind a government, right, or whatever it is that supports us. Right, that maybe makes my life a little easier. I've been there. My life isn't easy now, but I've also had to become accountable. Well, I got sober. One, I had to become accountable. You know, I can't live my life going, well, let's just do it and then hope for the best. No. You know, I do walk a little bit of a curmudgeon-y, tight ass line. If you ask my wife, she'd tell you I'm a tight ass. But listen, you know, we go to bed with a clear conscience and we wake up with a clear conscience. I don't want to go to bed and wake up with fear and worry. But, you know, I'm also getting older, right? I can sort of see some sort of finish line. I do know I will be dying a lot sooner than I used to. And, but, you know, it's just, it was really, for being my birthday, it was really kind of a mixed day. And, you know, the interesting thing is for a long time, I've always had my birthday the day before 9/11, right? I remember when that happened, the day after my birthday. And I used to think, I'm glad that didn't happen on my birthday. Well, you know, this is what's happened on my birthday. And now the two will be associated together. And that's a bummer because, like I said, I love Charlie Kirk. I love all that he has done. You know, and then you think, who could be another voice and replace him? I don't know. But the cool thing about him was, you know, he just sort of showed up. He worked hard and, you know, he got his message out and he, you know, he was appreciated for it. So, but that's, you know, that's sort of what's going on. It's been a rough couple of days. It's been a rough day. Yesterday was rough. I didn't even go to a meeting last night. I didn't go to my home group. I text the guys I sponsor. I said, I'm not going. Charlie Kirk got shot and I'm just staying home. I don't feel like it. And actually, when my kids got home, I grabbed my kids and we went out and had pizza and hung out, went to the grocery store and bought some snacks. And, you know, I just love my kids, you know. And, yeah. I've never seen a person, something happen to a person and it absolutely filled my Facebook yesterday. I mean, all social media, everything on my phone was all Charlie Kirk. Man, that's pretty big time, right? That's big time. Everybody loved Charlie Kirk. And, but yeah. All right, let's see. Let me read the daily reflections and see if we can. Yeah, and the worst part is they haven't even fucking caught the guy that shot him. It's terrible. All right, let me see. Daily reflections. Okay, here we go. All right. Making amends, September 11th. Above all, we should try to be absolutely sure that we are not delaying because we are afraid. Yes, that makes sense. 12 steps, 12 traditions. To have courage, to be unafraid, are gifts of my recovery. They empower me to ask for help and to go forth in the making my amends with a sense of dignity and humility. Making amends may require a certain amount of honesty that I feel I lack. Yet with the help of God and the wisdom of others, I can reach within my find, reach within and find the strength to act. My amends may be accepted or they may not, but after they are completed, I can walk with a sense of freedom, and I know that today, I know that for today, I am responsible. Yeah. Yeah, it's a ninth step, right? Make amends. It's, you know, giving people back their dignity. You know, there's nothing better than walking the streets without having to look over your shoulder. Yeah. All right, listen, I appreciate you letting me share, and I will catch you later. Bye.
I walk my life trips before me.